A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus told the disciples a parable about the need to pray continually and never lose heart. There was a judge in a certain town, he said, who had neither fear of God nor respect for man. In the same town there was a widow who kept on coming to him and saying, "I want justice from you against my enemy." For a long time he refused, but at last he said to himself, "Maybe I have neither fear of God nor respect for man. Since she keeps pestering me, I must give this widow her just rights, which will persist in coming and worry me to death." The Lord said, "You notice what the unjust judge has to say. Now will not God see justice done to his chosen who cry to him day and night, even when he delays to help them? I promise you, he will see justice done to them, and done speedily. When the Son of Man comes, will he find any faith on the earth?" The Gospel of the Lord. There's a story in Herodotus about two tyrants. Tyrant is just a Greek word for ruler of the ancient phase of Greek history, although it's given as the modern word because many of the tyrants were in fact tyrants in the modern sense. The story is quite interesting. It's about the tyrant of Corinth, Periander, who asked for advice on how to rule from another tyrant, Thrasybulus of Miletus. He sends a messenger, and the messenger comes back and says, "Well, that wasn't much use, that man's crazy. He just took me out into a field and he started chopping off the heads of some of the taller plants in the field. And then he sent me home." The Periander gets the message right away. Thrasybulus is saying, what you have to do to be in power is to chop down all the other powers. Anybody who gets too powerful or too rich, you destroy them. That way you stay safe. That's an interesting story because I think it's a key to why Christ himself speaks in parables. Why doesn't he just say what we're supposed to do? Well, sometimes he does, of course. Sermon on the Mount, you have moral teaching in the stories. But sometimes we have the parables. And curiously, the parables themselves are described as not being understood. Now, the reason Thrasybulus doesn't just say to this other tyrant, "Don't let your enemies get too powerful," or even your friends, is because he's giving a message that has to be accepted. And he uses a symbolic method, which the messenger fails to understand, because he's really aware that to understand what he's saying, it's important that the person who receives the message is the kind of man who will act on it. Periander understands the message precisely because he's willing to be ruthless. He immediately gets it. The serpent, the messenger who takes the story back, doesn't get it at all. And that's, I think, what the parables are about. We have to be a sort of person to understand the parables. And the parables themselves are really depicting human beings as they are and also as they can be, and showing how that says something about life. So, the story of the pearl is to help us to understand that God is a pearl of great price, but then we have to have something in our life that we really want above all else before we begin to understand that God is what we should want above. The story of the Good Shepherd, the story of the prodigal son, reach out to human life. Do we have compassion? Do we understand that parable? Would we actually bring our own son back if he betrayed us? Would we care? Parables are very powerful precisely because they're not just teaching, they're stories that we're drawn into. Now, I've just read a parable from the Gospel of Luke, and there are certain parables in the Gospel of Luke that raise real problems, because here we find the characters in them are not really people we should identify with at all. They're quite corrupt. If you read the parables in sequence, in fact, read the Gospel of Luke in sequence, you'll see that we're given a very bleak view of life. It's a world of massacres, of tyrants, of cheats, of liars, of dishonest people, of indifferent people. Many parables, in fact, depict just such people. Even one of the most inspiring ones, the story of the Good Samaritan, after all, contains the priest and the Levite who do nothing. And of course, the thieves, the burglars who attacked the man in the first place. The Good Samaritan is one good person among others who are not good. This parable is about an unjust judge. If you read it carefully, one thing you might notice is that nowhere does Christ say that the widow is just. She wants her cause heard, but there's no clear suggestion that she's actually in the right. The judge himself doesn't care. He's called a judge of injustice rather than an unjust judge, as the translation has it, and he simply gives the case to her because he wants rid of her. The justice of the case is somehow missed entirely. And that's a strange way to talk about prayer, which we're told the parable's about, or indeed God. Is God unjust? But actually, it's really trying to show us that even at our worst, we ourselves have something of God in us. Even to our worst, there's something of God in us. The unjust judge will respond if you try hard enough. So why do we think God won't respond to our prayers? If we think an unjust judge will do it, given enough effort. In fact, we're really missing the point that we're yearning for things all the time. That's one of the themes of the parables. We're always seeking some form of happiness. We always want more. The widow herself wants something. She just wants something. A good night's sleep. But that actually says something about God. It also says something about justice. Thomas Aquinas insists that justice is a virtue. And precisely what he means by that is it's something that is part of a human being. We can talk about just laws, just societies, just practices, but fundamentally, justice is in a human being or it isn't. It doesn't exist outside of a human being. Just laws are to make people just or to help them to be just. If they're not just in themselves, no law will make them just. It's got to be inside themselves. That's what justice is. So it's a message about justice. It's also a message about our attitude to God. We're not just to God. We expect God to be like the unjust judge or like the dishonest servant, master, who is quite pleased by the dishonest servant's cheating, precisely because he's clever, even though he's been cheated. And yet, in all these stories of injustice, of unfairness, of selfishness, of indifference, there's something very human and very close to the heart of the message. Even the bad people want something. They want happiness, they want truth, they want justice. They want to be at peace. They want to be safe. And we want, deep down, what God wants. That's why I say that the parables actually are showing us God in ourselves. Because God is better than us. But he's not so different. The things that God teaches are things we already understand. We know what we want. And so we can pray to God. And God will see justice done to them and done speedily. And we see that because he wants to put justice in our hearts, not just in society, not in the structures, not in the laws, however important that is, but in us. He wants us to be just. If we stop looking, if we stop seeking, if we give up in the deep things that we seek, then we'll fail. Which is why the indifferent people, the dull people, the people that just don't look, don't ask questions, don't pray, don't try to be happy, are actually worse than the people who are wild and corrupt and unfair, because at least they want something. At least they're trying to do something, however badly. Great paradox, as Christ says, that the tax collectors and the prostitutes will go into heaven before you, because they're desiring something. And if they desire what's good for them, how much more does God desire what's good for us?